Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So Mo has told us before he's never been in love, right? And he said a couple of different times now over the course of the last couple of weeks that he doesn't understand the value of marriage when it comes to a man. And we haven't really dived in on that because initially it sounds offensive.
That's why I don't say it much.
Right. So what does it mean?
Well, it really all started, I don't remember exactly when this was, but there was a time when rapper T.I. said something to the extent of marriage is really not for men, it's for women. And then it became like this really debatable thing. And at the time that that happened, I happened to be home and in Colorado, and I was with a group of men. And these are all like older men who are married, a couple are divorced, but they're all like older than me and they've had life experiences as men. And so when this debate was happening, where it was kind of the first time I think I've heard older married men vent in a space where there was no women and it was like no holds barred. They was just letting it fly.
Unfiltered.
And so I was there as the younger guy who has never been married, don't know, just kind of listening. And at first it kind of started off with like a lot of the married guys kind of basically speaking to marriage as if it's something that they did because they felt like they had to. Not necessarily because they wanted to. Like, you know, my lady wanted it, so I got married. And then they kind of started venting about how, like, to be honest with you, I wish I would have traveled more. I wish I would have done the things that I see you doing, Mo. Like, I try to live through you. Like, I can't go to Colombia. I can't go to Brazil. My lady's not letting that go down. And it was guys who were speaking to, like, kind of almost feeling as if they, like, gave up on their dreams a little bit to support being a husband and a father. And there was, like, they were basically speaking to, like, I always say, you see happy wife, happy life shirts, but you don't see happy spouse, happy house shirts. Like, you know, when we have debates on things, I let her win. It's not worth the fight. Like, do you want to be right or do you want to make love? Like, and then it was other guys who was like, make love? I don't make love. I ain't make love since I've been married, right? These guys are speaking of how they don't get any in their marriages. And it just kind of kept going and going. And then you heard the guys who have been divorced say, I'm not going to lie. I wish I would have taken a different route. The divorce tore me up. I lost this. I lost that. And I kind of, at the end of it all, like after sitting there listening to it, jokingly said, I'm starting to feel like there's no value in getting married as a man. Like listening to y'all, thinking that they were going to be like, no, you know, that's not it, youngin. But they all kind of looked at me like, well, yeah. And
so if Abby was telling this story about a group of women, what's the advantage for a woman to get married where it's different than a guy?
I feel like you'd have to ask a woman that, because I did, like, so when I'd heard this information, I did go to women. Like, I was curious as to the women who have been married or want to be married, because something that the older guy said to me, he said when he got married in his time, it was different. It was like he feels like that was when, you know, it was where a man would provide and the woman would almost be like, you can have me if you marry me type of thing. Whereas he's like, nowadays, that's not a thing anymore. That's long gone. Like, you don't necessarily have to get married for that. In fact, sometimes you get married and you don't get that. But now he feels like people get married more so just because of the look of marriage, more so than when you got married for the traditional reasons. And so then when I started to ask women, like, well, that's interesting. How do you feel about this? I really didn't get a lot of great answers as to what women feel like men do get from getting married nowadays. It was just kind of more like, well, what do we get? And I'm like, well, some men really don't want to be married. So if that's the case, as a man, if you don't really see the value in it and you're asking a woman, like, what would the value be? And your answer is just kind of like, well, what do we get? To me, I'm like, that's not a good answer. And then I heard some women say, like, cook and clean. but I don't really believe in gender roles. I don't understand why that would be a, like, I cook and clean too. Like, I get busy. I'm not these nasty men that women talk about. I clean very well. So I don't, like, we're going to both do that. So it just kind of got down to like, well, what really is truly the value of taking this risk as a man? And if you, especially if you have something to lose and you're afraid of it not going well, and I was kind of lost at the answers I was getting.
Right. Who wants in on this? 1-855-BIRCHA.
I think for a lot of the reasons that you're expressing, like, what is the value in it for men, women these days could say the exact same thing. And I can say that because I've said the exact same thing. Because I grew up in a really Southern conservative community where it was very much kind of, nobody would ever say this out loud, but I think it was really expected for young women, like, okay, you go to college, you'll work for a few years, you're going to get married to a breadwinner, and then you're going to end up having children. And so, because that's not really the life that I want to live, I started asking the same questions where, okay, well, then what is the value of a long-term committed relationship if I'm going to be expected to give up my dreams? And basically just, I've had people that I've dated in the past be like, well, you'll stay home. Like, you'll be the mom to my kids. And I'm like, that's not what I want. And so I think on both sides, both people, both men and women, if this is a heterosexual relationship, you have to ask yourself, what is the value in a long-term committed relationship for me? And why would I value freedom and choices over a long-term committed relationship? You have to decide for yourself, do I see the benefits of investing in something long-term more, or do I really value my freedom more? And that's a personal decision you have to make.
For sure. I agree with you. I just don't. So if a woman feels like that, I would completely understand her feeling like, I don't want to get married because I don't see the value. So I would agree with you in that instance. I guess the only true value I think most men would say is the financial value of being a provider and all of the things that you're going to take care of in a marriage that you might not do in a regular relationship. But other than that, I agree with you.
For me, there really is no inherent value in getting married. It's great for taxes, if financial reasons, if you want that. Back in the day, you're right, the man was the provider and the woman did the household chores and the jobs, and that's a workload as well, and it allowed the man to go out and be successful. Nowadays, that dichotomy doesn't work, but here's the thing. I think I got married because I loved my partner, and I wanted that, I wanted to solidify that, and I wanted sort of to tell the world, we're going to go through this together. I think you can do that and have a great life without getting married and have a long-term commitment, but it's the type of people that are getting married, right? If my husband was like, I want to go on a solo trip, I want to go on a trip with my friends, I want to go travel in Brazil, I'd be like, all right, great. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to figure out the kids thing.
Most wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying is, I think when some people go into marriages, they now act like we're in this together, and you are, but it becomes a permission thing. I need to get your permission. I need to get your permission. My wife won't let me do that. My husband says I can't spend that money. And that is just not how my husband and I look at our marriage. We do things together out of respect. I'll run things by him out of respect. We have conversations where we listen to each other, but there is no point in the marriage where I've ever said, no, you can't do that.
You and I have struggled with this similarly, I think, because I think you and I are very independent people. Mm-hmm. We're very independent women, you and I.
Yeah. I thought I said that about you, Bert.
So being in a committed relationship, yet keeping your independence and your individuality is a challenge.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And I think that those that navigate through that part and have a partner that understands how important that independence is for each other, if that's necessary for one or the other, those are the ones that make it. Ones that feel strangled, that don't feel like they can walk around with the freedom, those are the ones I feel like they've got these boundaries around them that don't fit right. And that's where I feel like most marriages kind of go tank.
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely agree. It's like once you give up you marry each other because you love the other person as an individual, but then you marry and you become a couple and you lose the individual. And that's why I think it's so important to have your own life, friends, hobbies that you do. And my thing has always been like Chad and I, we are living our life in parallel with each other. So there are times where the roads cross and we do things together. And there are times where I just go hang out with my friends. I do what I want to do and he does what he wants to do.
And I think most people, as soon as you get married, you are the center of each other's universe and everything has to be done together. And if it's not, then it doesn't feel healthy. And I think that's an unhealthy way to look at it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, back to your original question, Mo, I think unless for religious reasons, or you really love the person and you want to show the world, whatever your personal preference, I don't think there is inherent value in marriage for men or women. I think it's the same on both sides, because unless a woman wants to get married and wants that status, well, then there's value in it.
That's
for her.
Value.
But then the man entering into it of his own free will, like, there has to be some value for him, and that's, he wants the woman, like, he doesn't want to let her go. But otherwise, as a baseline, like, I agree with you, but for both sides.
So your question is, what's the difference between me just looking at my partner and saying, let's just do this for the long haul, baby, and actually going to the courthouse and signing a piece of paper?
Somewhat. I'm pretty much saying exactly what Cassie is saying, as well as there isn't value on either side. But for women, I think the value is most women want to be married. So that's the value. It's something that you want, and that some women, like, if I'm being honest, enjoy the social part of being married. Like, I'm married, I feel successful in this. Look what I've done. I know a lot of women who've gotten married just to get married. They don't even really want to marry the guy they married. They just want to be married.
Just need a warm body up there.
That's it, right? Like, it looks a certain way, whereas I think most men's attitude towards it is like, I'm really getting married because you want to get married.
Gotcha.
So that kind of is where the value separates for me on both sides.
Look, I've never been married, so I can't really speak to the actual inherent values, but my parents are married. They have a great marriage. They're surrounded by couples who have had 30, 40-year-long marriages. And what I've heard from them is that there's really something to be said about standing up in front of everybody, even if it's just a courthouse wedding, and saying, we're going to be a team. I'm going to sign up for this team. I'm going to get the government involved, so there's financial consequences if I step outside of these lines, which might not be something you want to sign up for. But I think there's a permanence that comes with actually saying, okay, we're going to do this together. We're going to become a team officially. It's like signing a contract.
Here's Heather. Hey, Heather, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's up?
Yes, good morning. I was just going to tell Mo that I think a lot of people miss the fact that, like, when you sign that piece of paper and say that you're getting married, that gives you a lot of say as far as, like, legal decisions and stuff like that. I would say that's more of the value in getting married, because if something happens to your partner, then if you don't have that piece of paper, they're not going to consider you when it comes to making a medical decision. They're going to go straight to the parents or someone else, and people can overrule you.
It doesn't seem like a major reason for you.
Nah.
I'm looking at your face.
I'll deal with that. All right. Just in case that happens.
Nah. Interesting conversation. We should probably continue this in bonus content or online. If you guys want to leave some comments for us on Facebook, on Instagram, we'll read some of those tomorrow. You can always hit us up there.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I think we all remember the first CD or first vinyl record, maybe, of an artist that you ever got, and you never forgot it. And for me, that artist was Aaron Carter. I had this CD of him that had his face on it. I remember every time I pulled it out, my mom would look at it and go, oh my gosh, he's looking at you. And my little 5-year-old self would be like, oh my God, Aaron Carter has a crush on me. And so when I found out that Aaron Carter passed away, it was a pretty jarring experience. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I used to listen to his music all the time when I was a kid. And so now, 5 months after his passing, we finally know his actual cause of death. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner Coroner has officially determined that it was fully caused by drowning, but they also found an anxiety-reducing drug in his system. And something that was unexpected, we kind of assumed that drugs would be a part of this, but there was a chemical called difluorethane, a compressed gas that was also in his system. So it's assumed that maybe that was also a part of.
He had been huffing.
Yes.
And he had a bunch of Xanax in him also.
Yeah, right. So all of that leading to him being in the bathtub, getting under the water, that kind of thing.
So does that mean his mom's theory is now thrown out the window? Because she was adamant that it was not an accidental drowning and that he had taken drugs, that she thought somebody was involved and that it was a homicide.
No other person was mentioned in the report, so I'm going to say yes.
I mean, I think if you're a parent in this situation, and then you got to start asking yourself, where did he get the Xanny? Did somebody supply him with that? Was it a doctor? And if you're a parent, then you're like, you're probably thinking that's an accessory to a murder.
Yeah, if I'm his mom in this situation, I'm obviously very traumatized by this. But
well, difluorethane, I can't say it either. Why is that so hard?
I practiced it before this. I was like, and I still messed it up.
Whatever it is, that substance can actually cause loss of consciousness as well. So it could be feasible that he took it, lost consciousness, and then drowned.
Is that an illegal drug or is that a prescribed drug?
I don't think it's a drug. It's a gas, right? It's
in, oh, you're talking about the huffing part of
correct.
It.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Is it in aerosols? And mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously, this is a really heartbreaking thing that I wish it shouldn't have happened.
You know, I know a lot of teens are doing that also, right? So I asked my teen if he even knew what it was, and he said no. And then he looked it up, and he's like, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And I was so glad that he mm-hmm. said that. But I also, on the other hand, was like, dang, maybe I shouldn't have even tipped him off to it.
Yeah, well, no, I remember you know those DARE classes where they take you to the auditorium? They would say that, too. I'm like, who is doing that? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, obviously, it's running in certain circles, but...
All right, I want to go back to the beginning of the conversation. So for you, the first bit of music you purchased was on a CD.
Yes.
So you never got to experience cassettes.
Oh, I did have cassettes. Well, my parents had cassettes, but I remember my very first CD was Aaron Carter.
Gotcha. Because I was just like, oh, yeah, cassettes were a thing first.
Oh, yeah.
I went straight to the vinyl records. So in any other context, if you invite people to a party and you don't tell them where it's at, what time it's happening, or what they're even doing, that's not going to fly over well. But when the Jonas Brothers do it, apparently it's fair game. They surprise fans by announcing that they're going to be doing secret shows towards the end of this month in three different cities, LA, Dallas, and Baltimore, which I thought was beyond random, but you know what? Maybe they have some family in Baltimore they want to go see. So it's going to be a secret show where fans can register for a chance to even buy these tickets. You can head to their website starting on Thursday if you want to see them at one of their secret concerts.
I feel like they put a whole bunch of different cities in a hat.
LA makes sense.
Two they wanted to go to, and then there was the random hat. Okay, where do we not want to go? And let's pick one of these out. Baltimore came up.
But it's no longer a secret. Like, people are registering for it and then have to buy tickets. To me, that is not a secret show.
I think the secret is what's going on at the show. Because they didn't say it's going to be like, oh, listen to XYZ album. Maybe they're doing like magic tricks.
Yeah, okay.
They're pulling more things out of a hat. They got bunnies. Okay. Cities they're going to visit.
Balloon art, miming. There's a bunch of things they can do.
Some breakdancing moves. It's going to be great. I'll be there. So if you're one of those people who's always turning on the subtitles when you're watching your shows, Amazon is introducing a new feature that's sure to help you out. Tommy, once you throw away your DVDs and you finally get Amazon Prime, you can use this as well. Amazon is rolling out a new streaming feature called Dialogue Boost that lets you increase the volume just on the parts where people are speaking.
That would be amazing. Yeah. As I was eating Mexican food yesterday and trying to watch Succession, and I couldn't hear over my chips.
This is huge.
Yeah.
You know, like, movies and stuff are engineered purposely with bad sound. We have the captions on at my house. I can't watch a movie without them.
Yeah.
Because I can't hear. I hear. Rah, 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 rah. I'm like, what are you saying?
I have the captions on just so I could tell people that I've read that day.
So far, it's just on a couple of things on Amazon Prime, but I'm sure they'll roll it out to more pretty soon. A new social media challenge is putting kids in the hospital, and there's already been one confirmed death. It's coming up next on your Entertainment Buzz on The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Are you anxious? Do you find yourself each and every day sort of catching yourself, just feeling a little on the nervous side, insecure about something? The average American feels insecure 5 times a day. 5 times. Speaking in front of large groups, that's like major number one. Not being properly prepared for something, whatever it is. Trying a new dating app. There are going to be about 5 times, they say, on average, that you're going to feel anxiety during the day. So yesterday we took the homework assignment of putting together an anxiety log. So anytime we felt nervous yesterday or felt anxious about a situation, how many were there over the course of the last 24 hours and what brought them on? Okay. Who would like to start?
I wouldn't mind going first and talking about how anxious I am, because I did better than I thought I was going to do. I think yesterday I said that I thought I would have 15 different instances where I felt anxious, and I cut it in half. I had 7 instances yesterday where I could tangibly say I experienced anxiety, and I decided to rank them. I'll go from least anxious to most anxious.
Okay.
And so the least anxious I felt yesterday was I put off some emails that I knew I should have responded to, and it's that thing where where it's like, it's going to take me 5 seconds mm-hmm. to respond to this email. But you keep putting it off and it makes you more anxious. So that was the first thing I did.
Just because you didn't know the right wording to use in it and you thought it might upset somebody?
No, it was more of like, I put it off for a day and then I thought, well, I want to plan out what I want to say because it's going to lead to a different conversation and I want to feel prepared for that conversation. So you could just see like my mind is a really uncomfortable place to be most days.
You know what the worst is? When you like, you gear yourself up and you write those emails and you send it and you're like, yes, done. And then it's ding. Within like 30 seconds, the other person has written back and you're like, no, now I have to re-add it to my to-do list again and ruminate over it again for another 3 days.
That's funny because that's literally what happened. But even though it was quick, it was like she was so happy that I responded. She's like, oh my gosh, been waiting for this. Can't wait to talk more. Blah, 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 blah. And it was a good combo. So note to self, respond to my emails when they actually get sent to me. The next one was, my apartment's a little messy right now. Kind of overwhelms me if there's clothes on the floor and stuff. And it's going to take me, again, 10 minutes to pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I'm staring at it going, it's going to make me more anxious to clean up my apartment. I also have a girls' trip this weekend. And I have a little bit of anxiety about that. You know how girls' trips go. Mm-hmm. You never know if people are going to get along. They're all my friends that I've invited. And so I want everybody to gel and not. I have good friends, so I don't think it's going to be like a bad situation, but you never know.
I love how it's already this weekend and your anxiety is pinging on a Tuesday.
Yes. Oh, no. Kristen, this started last Tuesday.
Yeah.
My next one was, okay, we had a company town hall yesterday and I thought, oh, I'll just watch it online. It'll be fine. And then I started gaining the anxiety. I'm like, I should have gone in person. I'm so dumb. Why? It was probably a better idea to go and meet everybody. I'm a failure. Everyone's going to think I don't care. And then it just stacked. And then also they threw my screen up for the entire branch here.
From what I understand, the entire radio station was feeling anxious after the meeting.
Yeah, but the pizza helped, right? I also am planning a private event for my podcast, and I'm kind of catastrophizing about all the ways that could go wrong, mainly just people not wanting to show up and just feeling like a total loser. So there's that. And then my final one is I still am fighting a little bit of low-grade show anxiety. I love coming into work and I have a lot of fun doing this, but I'm still fighting off a little bit of social anxiety.
Okay. All right. I'm 20 years in that and I still feel that from time to time.
So do I. Absolutely.
All right, Mo.
I kind of had four in a possible because I just added one in real time, but there were four from yesterday. The first one was right before I was going to do the afternoon show with Jade and Mo. I it's kind of normal. I wasn't like nervous about it, but some days I'm just so tired, like on that particular day, that I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this. Like, where am I gonna pull this energy from? It always works itself out, but sometimes I get anxiety about that. I started thinking about the break that I was gonna do today, about my dating life, and I got some anxiety about that. Moments ago when Bert looked at me and said, let's talk about why you don't find value in marriage as a man.
Uh-huh.
Certainly had some anxiety about that.
Man,
I gotta add that one to my list also. I was nervous asking you about it.
I had to make a phone call to a family member who wants me to host a party for them. And I really hate those types of conversations when I have to talk business to family. I absolutely hate doing that. So I definitely had anxiety about that. And lastly, I went to the movies and the movie was really bad. And I was pissed at that because it was late and it was 3 hours. And then I started looking at the clock once I realized it was 3 hours. And I had a ton of anxiety about when I was finally going to get to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my five.
That goes along with our jobs a lot also, is that we get to bed so early that I always kind of feel like there's an internal clock. I'm always looking like how many hours am I going to get to sleep?
Yes.
Is it going to be five? Okay, now I'm down to 4.5. Now I'm down to 4. Yep. Now 3.5, right?
Count them down all the way. And it starts at like 7:30.
Yeah.
I was anxious on and off all day about taxes because it was tax day. And I'd be like, how much do we owe? Forget about it. Chad's doing it. How much do we owe all day? At 11:24, I was anxious about our station town hall meeting because I always get anxious when I log on to Zoom that my camera is going to be on or like my mic's going to be unmuted and I'm going to say something stupid or fart. I don't know why. And then I was good all day until 8 p.m. And then the roller coaster started. I got anxious because I wasn't going to get to bed before 9 p.m. So that ruins my entire morning routine because the kids were being difficult last night. At 8:30 p.m., I was anxious because I realized my pants had holes in the butt, but I had gone to the grocery store. So I replayed all of that in my head. Like big holes, not tiny little pinholes, like actual gaping holes that you could fit your thumb through. And I'm like, what happened? 8:45 p.m., I was anxious that I left the stove on, the composter plugged in, or the vacuum charging. So I had to go double check all those plugs.
Do you do that every night?
Yep.
Every night.
Sometimes I'll check the stove two or three times, or I'll do rounds like three times just to make sure everything is off and unplugged. It's OCD thing. 9 p.m. I was anxious because the air conditioning sounded weird. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, is it a tornado or a crashing plane instead? So I got really anxious listening to that. It was just the AC. 9:30, I got anxious because I felt the bed sheet move when I was sleeping, which freaked me out. And then I woke up with existential dread, like that sinking dread feeling, which was very weird. I think I was just hallucinating. Then this morning as I was leaving, I was anxious that the stove was off and that the coffee pot wasn't touching anything combustible. So I had to do the rounds again before I left the house. I got anxious that the house was locked and the alarm was set. And I was anxious walking to my car because it's dark outside.
How many are we talking about here?
I think it was like something like nine.
Nine.
So not bad.
Okay. So what an hour. Because a lot of them started last night. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of them were right before bed. It's like crammed in there.
You thought you turned off your stove, but it's still on.
That's funny. I have legitimately called Chad on the way to work like at 5:30 in the morning and said, hey, babe, I'm really sorry. I need you to wake up and go check the stove. And he'll be like, did you use it this morning? And I'll say, no, but I just really need you to go check and make sure there are no flames so I don't have to turn around.
I'm not kidding. I think it's on.
Stop.
Kristen, you're on anxiety meds.
Correct. Yes, I take Lexapro.
Not to give you more anxiety, to take away the anxiety.
Correct. I clocked in at 12 yesterday.
Really?
Wow. Yes. Yeah. And mine are all in chronological order. Now, the difference is here, and I do attribute the meds. Like, I would get the anxiety, and then it would stay with me. So these are kind of like fleeting little anxiety moments. And it started at 7:59 a.m., right after you initiated this challenge. I had to send a text to a neighbor. And she had texted me on Friday, and I had a busy weekend, and I hadn't texted her. And then I felt bad that I had been so long, because she asked me something about, you know, the baby. And so, but I went ahead and texted her. And then that lasted with me all day, because I hadn't got a text back from her because I thought she was mad I took too long to text her back. But thankfully at 4:03 p.m. she texted back, so all is good. Now, go to 8:04 a.m.
Can I stop you there for just 1 second?
Yeah.
So is there any emotional lesson that you learned from that? So you got yourself all worked up, right?
Yeah.
You got yourself all anxious.
Yeah.
But everything turned out fine a couple of hours later.
Yeah.
So do you store that somewhere going, okay, you know what? Everything's going to be fine. It was fine there. I can apply this to everything else.
Totally. It's a total lesson. But then when your anxiety doesn't allow you to learn that lesson, so it's just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. 8:04 a.m. was the break about strippers and if I disrespected my marriage. So, of course, there was some anxiety talking about that. At 10 a.m., I got a phone call from a restaurant. I'm trying to book a reservation for Mother's Day weekend. And, of course, they have no room, which really made me upset and mad because I had what?
I just got anxious about Mother's Day.
Yes, yeah. Because I'd been calling them for like a month now and we've been playing phone tag and they don't have any room for us and it's just BS. Anyway, so then at 10:32 a.m., I called a different restaurant and had to leave a voicemail. Whenever leaving your voicemail, you're always worried you sound stupid. And so I had anxiety leaving a voicemail. Same with Abby and Cassie. At 11:28 a.m., we had our Microsoft Teams meeting with the company. And as soon as I log in, I can't hear them. So I'm like, what am I doing wrong? But I don't want them to see me. I don't want them to hear me because the vacuum is going on in the background with dogs barking and a baby watching, you know, a toddler watching the TV.
So everybody had that anxiety in common, that town hall, that company town hall meeting yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then after that, 12:07 p.m., I had to call a client, leave another voicemail. I never use the phone to call people, so the fact I had to do this multiple times yesterday really put me in a tizzy. But I called and left the voicemail. And then at 1:45 p.m., Jimmy was in bed with me. I was supposed to put him down for his nap, but I fell asleep while we were watching Ferdinand. So Bart came in to grab him, to take him, and I woke up, and I immediately got anxiety because I was like, crap, I was supposed to do that, not him. I wonder if he's going to be mad at me. And he wasn't. And thankfully, I took a 3-hour nap because I had a long weekend, so no anxiety during my nap. That was lovely. Then at 7:42 p.m., I'm putting Jimmy to bed, and that is always high anxiety because he's a toddler and he gets in moods. He wouldn't let me sit in the chair. He was crying, so I had to sit on the floor. I tried to pick books. He didn't want to read a book. He's like, no, mama, no. No, mama, no. We finally got through that. And then, of course, as I'm putting him down, he's like, I love you. And I'm like, 8:12. I hadn't heard back from the client. I left a voicemail, so I had to text the client about the segment. So I had to reread that text a million times to make sure I did it right. And then all worked out fine. 8:36 p.m., I had to DM a listener for a segment we're doing today. And then at 9:48 p.m., I wrote down the time, but I didn't write down what made me anxious. So I was anxious about something, but I don't know what it was. But in total, there were 12 instances that I remember that caused me, like, twinges of anxiety.
It makes me want to hug you. It just sounds so exhausting.
Don't. Yeah, that idea gives me anxiety.
I wish I would have gone first. I had three yesterday.
Are you serious?
That's it. And I just added one at the very end here.
That must be nice. From last
I know,
night.
Right?
I don't find myself an anxious person during the day. So I had a doctor's appointment yesterday that I don't want to get into, but I got some really jarring news in that. I was fine leading up to the appointment, and then in it, very anxious after I got some news. I was really anxious because I was late for an appointment yesterday. I left on time, and then Waze got me lost. It literally said this place I was supposed to be at was right in the middle of the highway. The building is not in the middle of the highway, but I ended up being 15 minutes late for this appointment, so I was anxious about that. And it's just one of those days yesterday where I didn't even get home till like 7 o'clock or 7:30 at night. I was so tired, and I don't know if you guys get like this in our jobs where sound at the end of the day sometimes, because we're talking so much and we have headphones on, that even the most quiet sound hurts my ears and hurts my brain. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I have nights like that.
So I got home last night, and Eliza usually goes to bed about 8 o'clock, and I got home at 7, and I felt obligated to spend some time with her and Tiffany, and they were so loud. Oh, my God, they were so loud, and they had so much energy at 7 o'clock at night, and it literally was hurting my head, but I'm like, I got to gut this out for at least half an hour to say that I spent half an hour with my family today. So it was 3 for me. So on average, though, what as a show, what, about 6, 7?
Yeah, above average on the anxiety scale.
Okay, about average.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
She's 23 years old, and she has her first boyfriend, so she's feeling a little insecure that maybe dude is doing something online that's not appropriate, and she would love our help to see if this guy is messing around or not. Says, Dear Bird Show, I need some help. I'm low-key freaking out right now. Never emailed you guys before, so I hope you read this. I'm 23, and I've been seeing this guy for a few months now. He is my first ever boyfriend.
Aww, girl, congrats. Oh, we're so happy for you.
Look at so adorable. I really like him. I think you could say that I love him. I mean, we've already said it to each other.
even after just a few months. Bold.
Whoa. Well, I kind of think he may be talking to other people online. I'm not really sure if he is, and I don't know what is okay and what isn't okay for him to be doing. I don't have any real proof, but I see him texting or DMing with people on his phone a lot. I ask him about it and try to be kind of jokey about it so he doesn't think I'm the jealous type. Keeps telling me that I'm just being paranoid, but I don't know if he's telling the truth. I'm not sure if this is something that happens in relationships or not. Like, I'm pretty new to this whole thing, so maybe it's normal. But if it's not, I don't want to be with a guy who's talking to other girls behind my back, and it's shady AF. So, if he's doing what I think, I'm not sure if this counts as cheating or not. I mean, he's not actually doing anything physical with them, she says. I know because he's pretty much with me or at work all the time. So I guess I want to know for sure if he's talking to other girls, and I'd like to know if every guy does this to some degree. Where do you draw the line? From Taylor.
So actually, on a recent episode of my podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, we were laughing about how the girl I was interviewing, she's like, I don't know how this guy had time to cheat on me. He was always with me, yet he had a whole wife at home. Damn. So I wouldn't nix out the whole he's cheating on you, but I don't think he's giving you any other reason to show that he'd be cheating. Like, it's not a crime to text or DM somebody.
Well, I guess she's asking, like, we'd have to see the context of the text, because we've certainly had cases before where there's nothing physical, but they're sharing so much intimate details about relationships that it certainly feels like cheating.
If we've established we are exclusive, if we have exchanged the L word, I would hope you wouldn't be DMing and messaging other women behind my back.
Yeah, as soon as it gets a little bit shady, you got to cut that off. And if not, I consider that cheating.
Yeah, I do too. It's hard without the context of what he's DMing and texting about, but I think the fact that she's letting him be jokey about it is the problem. Like, you got to create a boundary and let him know that you don't like that so that you can get a real answer. But no, I don't think all guys do that, and it is disrespectful if he is crossing the line.
For you, Abby, is cheating strictly the physical part of it?
No, it's 100% emotional too. I mean, if this turns out to be true and he is DMing other girls, for me, that would be a reason to break up with someone, depending on what the messages were.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll test tonight. Snapchat, Instagram, whatever he's on. We'll see if he takes the bait, and we'll give her the results tomorrow.
You're on The Burt Show.
So, Kristen, you are starting to realize, and this is very surprising, because I don't know anybody in my life that celebrates as well as you do, and I have learned so much from you about identifying the moments that should be celebrated and going for it.
Well, thank you. The fact
that this is a little squirrely with you right now?
That is a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's astonishing.
I don't know if it's because I think my husband and I have gotten in this rut of not celebrating each other for our anniversaries. Like, before, it was just like, oh, we're busy. It's not that big a deal. And we know we love each other. We don't need this. Like, other couples need this. We don't need this. We're fine. And then we had a kid and things got a little more complicated and not as effortless as they have been in the past. And it makes me realize that, no, we need to celebrate our commitment to each other and celebrate our love to each other. Because I'll never forget, and it was funny, like, this was, pre-Jimmy, because we'll be celebrating our 6th wedding anniversary this Saturday. Our wedding anniversary is actually the same day as Abby's birthday, which is so funny. So yeah, Earth Day, Abby's birthday, our anniversary. It's a big day, y'all. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, and we hugged each other for our anniversary, and I whispered in his ear, I didn't get you anything. And he whispered in my ear, and I didn't get you anything either. And it was like perfect. You know what I mean? And so we've always just kind of had that was our MO. We didn't do anything. However, I was having a conversation at our Burt's Big Adventure reunion with Haley's mom, and we were talking, she's like, so what do you got? I'm like, yeah, this coming weekend, we're not doing anything. But it is Bart and I's 6th wedding anniversary. And she's like, oh, what do you guys have planned? What are you going to do? And I was just like, nothing. And she's like, girl, you have to do something. Like, get a reservation at a restaurant or something, or have, like, she's coming up with ideas that we could do at home. She's like, have a picnic at your house, in your house. And I'm like, we have 3 dogs. There's not going to be any picnic happening on the floor of our home. Okay. And then that conversation happened, And then something else happened, and it didn't really resonate with me until after I had that conversation with Haley's mom about celebrating Bart and I's love. So a dear friend of mine, unfortunately, had to put her dog down. And I stopped by to drop off some comfort food for her, some comfort treats for the other pup, and a blue hydrangea to plant in the yard as a reminder and memory of him. And she had some friends over, invited me in, but I didn't want to intrude. But, you know, I went in and we were just hanging out, throwing a few back for the dog. And one of her friends was doing a reading, and she had like these, like, I don't know if they were tarot cards per se, but that's what she was doing, and asked if I wanted one. And I'm like, well, I'd never turn down a free reading. Why not? And so I sit there and like, I cleanse my hands and, you know, I cleanse my body, and she fans out the, like, I shuffle the cards and she fans them out, and I pick my three cards, and one card's supposed to represent your past, one card's supposed to represent your future and your present, and one card's supposed to represent your future. And so we flip the first card over, which was my past, and that was unconditional love. We flip the next card over, which is my present, and it was unconditional love. Cleansing was in my present. And then for my future, it was celebration. And when she was reading through everything and we got to future and celebrate, and she goes, you need to celebrate more. And that you just need to take a beat and take a breath and actually take a moment to appreciate things in your life and really celebrate them and acknowledge them. And that these accomplishments, you don't have to diminish them, like they're worthy of celebration. And, you know, I had some things in my mind, but I don't know why it didn't hit till later. It wasn't until I had that conversation with Haley's mom about celebrating our wedding anniversary. And I'm like, by God, we do need to celebrate each other. So,
and for new listeners, they've been together with each other much longer than that.
16 years. Yeah. Like, we were together 10 years when he proposed, 11 years when we got married. And so celebrating 6 years. So, you know, we've been together a hot minute. And so immediately, like, I went online. So Bart and I now have a reservation on Saturday.
Okay.
We're going out to dinner together. Woo-hoo. Producer Katie's going to come over and watch Jimmy Jam so he and I can go out just one-on-one. No couple, like, no other couples. I'm not making it a group date. It's just going to be he and I getting dressed up, going to a fancy restaurant, and celebrating each other.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
I don't know why I'm so good at doing it for other people, but not, like, for us.
Right.
And I know that makes no sense. You figure the person that you're closest to, you would go, like, more so above and beyond. So I think just, like, had a lot of realizations lately about certain things, and that was one.
You're on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Every couple of years, there's a pretty terrifying social media trend that comes around. I would say the most recent one was probably the Tide Pod ones from back when I was in college. And you read them and you find yourself saying, how did this even become a trend? Like, whoever thought this was a good idea?
Just takes one really influential person to stick the detergent in their mouth. For other lemmings to go, oh, you can get hits that way?
The wrong kind of influencer. The newest viral social media trend now involves TikTok users taking large amounts of Benadryl and over-the-counter allergy medication, of course, to get high. And the FDA is like, this is beyond dangerous, for obvious reasons. And it's been linked to teens getting hospitalized. And it was actually just reported that a 13-year-old boy in Ohio passed away for doing this.
It's horrible.
It's beyond heartbreaking. So if you find your kids hearing this on TikTok, make sure you let them know.
So they're just guzzling it?
Yeah, I think the kid in Ohio, I think they counted, this is me remembering what I read. I think it was 14,
Jesus.
Which is crazy because I think the dose is like, what, one or two for a kid who's 13? Mm. So it's beyond heartbreaking. Katy Perry experienced a first during an episode of American Idol. She was recently booed by the audience for critiquing one of the performers.
Yes! Yes! Oh, wow. Katie got booed! Katie got booed!
So you get a whole crowd shouting like that, and you gotta wonder, what did she say? What could possibly elicit that kind of reaction? And basically, one of the performers was up on stage. She had a little outfit on that had a bit too much glitter, apparently, because she said, every time you take the stage, it's like a glitter bomb. The one thing I would like to see from you personally is not one piece of glitter next time. I know it's going to be hard.
That was their critique?
Yeah.
What, aren't they supposed to be talking about, like, I don't know, how they sing?
Well, I think it's more, it's been years since I watched American Idol, to be honest with you, but I think it's an overall stage presentation. I think
the overall package.
Yeah, it's not just about your voice, it's how you are a performer on stage. And she was just, to me,
has Katy Perry seen some of her outfits?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I was
saying. Katy Perry's one to talk. Yeah.
She's had cupcakes on her boobs.
That's much from someone who has squirted whipped cream from them.
Yeah.
I just think it's like the critique doesn't even bother me. The fact that it's such an amazing insult that people are offended by, to me, just makes a tremendous statement. Like, it's like offhanded. It's like not even a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And she's supposed to be giving critiques, and I guess a part of the outfits are maybe part of it. But I'm sure you're hearing, oh, that they're talking about the glitter. She must be literally walking around in like a cat suit that's head to toe sparkles. I looked at her outfit, and it's something I would wear to the club. It's very normal. It's just a little shimmery. But she ended up clarifying what she meant by her critique. She said, I just want to see a more toned down performance. We've seen a lot of pop stuff from you. Let's dial it back and let's get something more heartful.
She should have said that the first time.
If I went up there and performed and that's what the critique was, right, I would take that as a compliment. Like, that's all you can get out
right
of it. Yeah.
So this is interesting, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it at all. And maybe I'm just drawing a blanket conclusion here, but Simon's not on the show anymore. But if that comment comes from a guy, is it offensive, or are people just harder on Katie because she's a woman?
Well, I don't think their critique is offensive. Like, I don't find that.
It's not booable to me.
Yeah.
You suck!
Fire!
But if it comes from a guy, is it even a question?
No, I think it still is rude. I think the thing is, Simon built his brand around being rude. Yeah. So, people hated him for it, but you knew what you were going to get. And so when somebody steps out of their character role like that, like Katy Perry, who is known for being flamboyant and glittery and all the bright colors and bright things, says that, it's kind of like, what are you talking? It comes off as honestly boring, lame, and kind of catty.
I mean, they're there to critique.
True.
So now people get offended that they're critiquing.
Yep.
I don't know.
Welcome to the world of being a comedian.
There was one the other day. I don't have the mental capacity to get into it today because I think you and I will disagree on this one, Cassie. But what's that show that your kid watches all the time?
Bluey.
There was some controversy with Bluey the other day also. Did you hear about this?
No. Ooh. What happened? Please tell me, because we are deep in the Bluey culture.
Yeah. Again, I can't joust with you today. I just don't have the capacity. But the offense, and I'll bring the audio in tomorrow, was one of the parents on the show steps on a scale and says, "Ooh, I got to start exercising." And a whole bunch of people got really upset by that.
Oh, I listened to that audio, and I thought about putting it in Eva's, but it was such an unremarkable statement from the character that I was like, oh, why are people mad?
Was it Bandit or was it Chili?
Yes.
Both of them.
I have no idea.
It was both Bandit and Chili.
What episode is this? Because is this an episode that's not in the U.S. yet?
Season 3, episode 7.
5 minutes in.
I've seen that one, and that one is about Sticky Gecko. Okay.
I don't know which one it is, but like, there's a picture of Bandit is like grabbing his stomach too while standing on the scale.
That has to be only in Australia. Because I know we have seen every single episode 20 times a piece that is available in the U.S. That one must not be available in the U.S.
It might have been not even on your radar for not being offensive because you wouldn't be offended by it, but a bunch of fans were like, it's inappropriate for him to say that he should be going to a gym because he didn't like the way that he looked on a scale.
Okay.
We'll get into it. I know, you and I will get into it tomorrow. I just can't do it with you today.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
You're on The Burt Show.
Abby might be emotionally colorblind. She sees green flags. Her mom says those are not green. Those are red flags, Abby.
Listen, I think when you guys hear what my mom thinks are red flags, you guys are going to be siding with me. My mom does this thing where she's probably the only person who's like, where's your boyfriend? Why aren't you going out on dates? And the moment...
Does it bug you?
It doesn't bug me. No. It's more of like... I think that's just a parent thing. They want you to be happy. My parents have been married for like 30 years. And
are they really happy?
They're very happy, Bert. And she's like, I want that for you. She's not pressuring me. She actually texted me after the marriage segment. She's like, I hope you never felt pressured by me to find a boyfriend. I'm like, well, she just wants me to be dating. I think that's really what it is. And so
why don't she go out there and try it? The inventory's not that great right now.
It's not.
That's what women are saying. Yes. Go ahead, Mom. Try it for 1 week. See what's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'll send her the people I match with on dating apps, and she's like, oh, I get it. But even when I find a good guy and they ask me out and they have all the green flags I'm looking for, she goes, there's something wrong with him. And so that recently happened to me. It's exactly how she sounds, by the way. I recently matched the guy a week or two ago, and we were really hitting it off over chat, which is rare for me because I hate small talk. I do not want to have like a pen pal. I just want to go for a drink and just have a little chit chat and see if we vibe. So I matched with this guy, and we were asking about our weekend plans. He said, you know, I'm just going to meal prep and do a little bit of reading. And I was like, oh, you like to read. I also like to read. What are you reading? And so we get into this whole shtick about the books that we like and the things that we've read recently. And he ends up asking me out to go on a first date to a bookstore. He's like, we can walk around, talk about our favorite authors. It'll be great.
I kind of love it.
It's magical, right? Like, yeah. It's a little bit more creative. And he's like, and then we can grab dinner afterwards. And I'm like, sign me up. It's so nice to be treated like an actual human being by a man on a dating app. This is huge.
Do they serve alcohol in those bookstores?
No, but you can walk next door and get a couple margaritas. Okay. Oh. I brought my flask.
Thinking I never went on a date where I wasn't buzzed.
I know. It was a little nerve-wracking to be sober on this date. But anyway, before the date, I'm talking to my mom about it. I got to let her know your girl's got a date. This is a huge accomplishment for me as a woman. And I'm telling her about how I'm so excited about the fact that we have something in common. He reads. And I can read.
Boris and Hill. It's low. It's so low.
Because hearing it out loud, it sounds even more pathetic than it was in my head.
Is there a reading level, or is it just reading? Like, if he has a sixth grade reading level, is that passable?
As long as it's like a second grade reading level, I'm here for it. But that was the thing. We were talking about what we're ready to read next because we're just a bunch of freaking nerds. We're like, what are you reading? And he's like, oh, I just bought a bunch of classics and I'm planning to read The Picture of Dorian Gray next. It's a novel from like 100, 200 years ago. And I tell my mom about this. I'm like, he's such an intellectual. He's reading The Picture of Dorian Gray. Isn't that great? I hang up the phone, go about my day, trying to live my life. And my mom calls me back about 10 minutes later. She goes, Abby, you can't go on this date with this man. And I'm like, why not? And she goes, I just looked up the description of the picture of Dorian Gray. He sounds like a sadist. I don't know if you should be going out with a man who voluntarily wants to read about selling his soul for eternal youth. Just because.
It's a lot to take in. Now, just because you read a book about sadism or Satan or demons doesn't mean like you secretly want to be one. I mean, if I was judged by the shows I watch, I would be screwed.
Yeah, you'd literally be like a murderer.
Yes.
Serial killer.
Yes. Serial killer. That's what I said. I'm like, this is a classic. Like, this is a well-known, beloved novel. It wasn't some, like, weird monster fan fiction that he pulled up on Wattpad. And so I'm like, this is a Wattpad. He's reading Ice Planet Barbarians.
Yeah. It's Wattpad. That's supposed to be good.
I've read them. Wattpad, by the way, is, like, fan fiction that young girls will write. It's, like, free books. And so.
I was giving you one of those fake laughs, but I really didn't understand the joke.
Yeah.
Just and the Wattpad was.
Wattpad.
Got it.
It's, like, where people would.
Did you say Who-pad?
Yes.
Who-pad, what-pad, why-pad.
How-pad.
I-pad.
And she's like, it's so weird. Like, what 25-year-old guy wants to take a girl to a bookstore? And I'm like, Mom, like, he's just normal. He just wants to do normal human things. Why do you think it's a red flag? And she's like, Abby, if you go out on this date, I need you immediately to share your location. I really do think he's going to abduct you. And then I sent her a photograph of him, and she goes, oh, and he has a mustache. This is just three strikes and he's out. Because these are all the red flags that apparently make him unmarriageable.
So do you know what your mom's like perfect qualification for a man for you would be?
I don't know, because every time I bring a man to her, she finds something. It's like the color of his hair, the types of pants that he wears, if he has too many pockets on his cargo shorts. Like, there's always something.
I love this because you told me about the date in the bookstore and I was like, that is the most amazing, like how outside of the box he knows you like to read, like how wonderful. And then you told me he was reading Picture of Dorian Gray and I'm like, a well-read man, they teach that in schools. Like, who voluntarily picks up books that they teach you in school? Not many people. I'm like, this guy is gold. And your mom's like, red flag, gonna kill you.
All right, so I have an idea.
Okay. By the way, I wouldn't even go on that date. If she said she wanted to go on a first date to a bookstore, I'd go, you're way too smart for me. This is never going to work.
I have an idea for the Burt Show Youth Group.
Okay.
Okay. And I love to just brainstorm and workshop ideas on the air, Abby. So you, Rebecca, Katie, and Romeo, I think each one of your moms should be allowed to pick a person you have to go out with.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, this is a good idea.
For the dating app?
Yes. So, like, all of your moms have access. They choose the person you go on a date with, and we see whose mom chose best.
Oh, I love this.
This is a good idea. I do think Carrie has good taste. I don't think this is coming from a malicious place.
No.
But it is a little frustrating every time I send her a guy. It's like, he looks too old. He looks too young.
Okay.
There's always something.
So I like Kristen's idea then. Mm-hmm. Let's let mom pick.
I know. And what was funny is when I finally went on the date with this guy is he did the exact same thing to me that my mom did to him, was I was telling him what I was going to read next, and it's a book called The 7 Days in June, or 7 Days in June, and he read it and thought I was like addicted to erotica novels or something, because this book was about a woman who reads or writes erotic fiction, but it's like a book about trauma, so it's for intellectuals, I swear.
Sure, Abby, go ahead, keep
selling. Yeah, that's what it is.
I absolutely love this idea. We got to run with this starting tomorrow.
The Burt Show Youth Group, and have their moms pick their dates and see how they all do.
See how it works out.
I'm here for it.
It's the Burt Show. Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.